A few months ago, I had the opportunity to preach, which was part one, and this is part two, a message about the New Testament church and characteristics of the New Testament church. It was right before our Engage event when we were talking about how can we as a church be more engaged within ourselves and in reaching out to our community. And you responded in incredible ways, not to my message per se, but to that whole concept and emphasis. And we praise the Lord for that and thank you very much for that. Today, I want us to look in the book of Ephesians. And rather than looking at the church, think about it from the perspective of individuals. Acts tells us what the New Testament church looked like, talks about a lot of individuals. But this particular passage talks about what a New Testament Christian might look like. One who is, as the word says, filled with the Spirit. Now, there may be a lot of misconceptions about what being filled with the Spirit means. And so I want us to talk a little bit about that because that's incredibly important. But then talk about some questions that I want you to think about. And I want to think about because this message is as much for me as it is for you. The four questions are this. What is it to be filled with the Spirit? What does it look like? Why is it important? And how does it happen? We'll come back to each one of those. That's sort of the outline for the message today. But it's very, very important. If we look in the book of Acts, we see throughout the book of Acts where in speaking of individuals, the writer described individuals in that New Testament church as being filled with the Spirit. Has that ever been a description given about you? Has that ever been a description given about me? Well, it should be one that's given about you and one that's given about me. But I believe we don't think about this as much as we should. And Paul really zeroes in on this in the letter to the Ephesian church. And we're going to look at this really from 30,000 feet, just an overview, because some of the commentators from which I got a lot of help and information, unbelievably, have 10 to 12 messages on what I'm going to be covering in about 25 minutes. Now that shows how much smarter they are than I am. But we want to just look at it from this overview, and then any part of this could be an individual message to challenge us. But again, this is just an overview. Like as we looked at those 10 things in the book of Acts, we're going to look at four questions today and then determine how is it that we are or are not demonstrating being filled with the Spirit. And if we're not, how can that happen in our lives? Because it is a command. If you would, look in chapter 5, verse 18. And God has a command for us tied first with something not to do and then a challenge as to what to do. And so Ephesians chapter 5, 18, and we'll actually be again skimming over the rest of this chapter and the rest, or all of chapter 6, as we look at things in this overview perspective. And while I'm thinking about an overview perspective from 30,000 feet, I want to just say that we praise the Lord that our team from Nicaragua made it back safely, had an incredibly impactful week there. We have an individual from our church right now who is in Romania. Be praying that he, along with three other people from our area, are going to have a great time there. And then be praying for J.R. Fulbright and Dave Gregory and Phil Taylor, who's not from our church, but our Associational Director of Missions, and I, as we're scheduled to leave to go to Nepal next Sunday, but there is a lot of unrest in Nepal, a lot of different kinds of things happening, and so we're not certain if we're going to be going. We're in contact with the folks that we know, both our International Mission Board folks and Nepali pastors that we work with, and so just be praying that God will give us wisdom as to what choice to make about whether to go on and go, but just praise the Lord for the opportunity that we have to go on mission for the Lord, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in just a minute as well. But the first question we want to see today is, what is it to be filled with the Spirit? Look at Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, something not to do, but then what to do, but be filled with the Spirit. That is a command he gives to us. Therefore, it is possible to do it, but there is a process by which we must walk in order to be one who demonstrates this issue of being filled with the Spirit. And so we got to first decide what it is. Let's determine what it is. Let me quote some folks about what it is, and then by that we realize what it's not, but let's focus on what it is. It is being so under the Holy Spirit's control and leading that our thought and life are entirely taken up with Jesus Christ. That's James Montgomery Boyce. Listen again. Being so under the Holy Spirit's control and leading that our thoughts and life are entirely taken up with Jesus Christ. Another one said, as believers in Christ, we can claim all of God's promises, but they will not be fulfilled in our lives until we are under the control of the Holy Spirit. They are all available to us, but they will not come our way until we're under the control of the Holy Spirit. When you and I invite Jesus Christ into our heart, we get all of the Holy Spirit we're ever going to get. He comes into our heart. Scripture after scripture bears this out. However, there is a recognition of, because of our willingness to yield to the Holy Spirit who is within us, that there are various degrees of a demonstration of being filled with the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we quench the Holy Spirit, as the Scripture says, if we grieve the Holy Spirit, as the Scripture says, we're not going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and the evidence of Him within our lives is going to be covered up because we're unwilling to be obedient to whatever God calls us to do. And listen to this statement. As believers, we do not sin because of the Holy Spirit's absence, but in spite of His presence in our lives. In spite of His presence in our lives. Being filled with the Holy Spirit carries the idea of a conscious continuation of dependence on the Holy Spirit within us to challenge, motivate, and equip us to do what it's right. That's living by grace. Grace can be defined as the desire and power to do God's will. So the Holy Spirit working within us. Many of us as believers think we have gotten our fire insurance, so why worry about anything else? I'm not going to go to hell, so I'm fine. I don't need to do any more than that. I don't need to respond in any greater way. Nothing could be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, it can be pictured in this kind of way. These are some gloves that I have in my truck, the little pocket thing that's beside driver's seat and the door. And probably for about 300 days out of the year, they just sit right there in that pocket in my truck. But when it's cold or when I have something to do that I don't want to scratch up my soft, tender little sissy hands, I will get these gloves out and I will put them on. These gloves are in my truck. These gloves are usable by me, but they're not doing anything until I put these gloves on my hand. And then those gloves either keep me warm or they protect my hands if I'm lifting something that might put a little scratch on my finger or break a fingernail. And so they are following my movements. I'm controlling them. Without my hands in them, they're useless. They're not doing anything. We are like the gloves. We can be sitting on a shelf, but until we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be effective in what we were designed to do. And the more we are ineffective in what we're designed to do, the more we miss out on what God has for us, and the more others may miss out on being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that happens through your life and my life as we interact with other people. So what is it? It is being filled with the Holy Spirit in such a way that God's Spirit, Jesus Christ, God the Father, are so in control of our lives that we're responding to all that they prompt us to do in every area of our lives. Well, what does that look like? I believe that Paul describes that in the verses that follow. And so let's look at a few things he describes. Expand on them just briefly. Again, this is a 30,000 feet look, not close up. But just expand on these for just a moment. And again, challenge you, and I'm challenging myself, are these evident in my own life? What does it look like? Number one, look at what it says in verse 19. Right after it says, being filled with the Spirit, comma, in verse 18. So we're going to get a list here. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Is there a song on your heart? Is there a song on your lips? When you come in here to worship, do you sit stone-faced when we corporately worship the Lord, or do you engage with the Holy Spirit? Listen to me. If there's not a song in your heart, if there is not a time when you gather corporately, and this verse implies both personal and corporate praise and worship to the Lord, then you're not demonstrating being filled with the Holy Spirit. We ought to be a singing people no matter how bad we sing. Can I get a testimony, Mama, about how bad I sing? It is amazing. We need to be ones who have a song in our heart, and it ought to come out through our lips. And let people see that. But look at the next thing that it says in the very next verse, 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. This is a genuine gratitude for God, to God, for who He is, what He's done, and all He is currently doing in our lives. Is there anything in your life that right now you have yet to thank Him for? We can thank Him for the good things. We can thank Him for the fun things. We can thank Him for the positive things. But that's not what in reality this is talking about. It's talking about in all things. What is discouraging in your life? What's disappointing in your life? What is not going right in your life, whether it's because of what you've done, somebody else has done, or just life in general? Is there anything in your life for which you have not thanked the Lord? Give thanks in everything. And we ought to be doing that in our lives. That ought to be an evidence that the Holy Spirit is living within us. And then look at the next verse, 21. And be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. What this is, submitting in right relationships to those who are around us. He gives six examples. This is sort of like a parenthetical part to this list. He says, be subject to one another. I'm going to give you six examples, then I'm going to go on to the next thing. He talks first to wives. He talks second to husbands. He talks third to children. He talks next to fathers, and it would include parents. He talks next in the context to slaves, and then he talks to masters. Now, let me quickly say, this is not condoning slavery. Slavery was something that was prominent in this day and time, not the way that we know of slavery or think about it, but in the way that that culture exhibited that. It, in some ways, was just as bad, but it was not the same kind of thing. The application for us today is employees and employers. That would be the application. If you just substitute the word where it says slaves to say employees, and where it says masters, substitute the word employers, you will get exactly the same concept. This is one of those cases where you look at the context for the truth, but then you apply it to our particular day and time. And so we need to understand that. But it's talking about being in God's design of right relationship with those who are around you. Is that the case for your life, in your marriage, in relation to your children, and in relation to where you work, whether you are the boss or whether you are the employee? Are those relationships where they should be? I don't know, what, 75, 80% of our awakened life is either with our family or with our work, and that's how it goes about. As a matter of fact, families, if you have not yet gone down to Home Point and picked up the 4-month challenge, Meals at Home, oh, I hope you will do that. There are some incredible resources down there that over the course of the next 4 months, challenging you, keep a track record of how well you do eating a meal with your entire family. Can I tell you, we don't do very good at that. But it's easier now because there's a lot fewer of us at home than there used to be. And so it's getting easier by by the week, month, year, whatever the case might be. But it is an incredible resource for you to pick up. I hope that you will go do that. But talking about how we relate again to the people who are around us. And then skip on down, if you would, to chapter 6, verse 10, and look at what it says there. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And then following that is a description of how we need to put on the armor of God. As a matter of fact, on our church website, there are podcasts of Brother Allen preaching through, expanding on this incredibly, that I would encourage you to go listen to, that you might see specifically what that talks about. And I'm sure you've read things or done studies about that, each piece of the armor and what that means, what that does for us, and how it equips us to go out into battle. And here's the point. There is a spiritual battle going on for your life, for your joy, for your impact every single day. It is in a world that we cannot see. There is a spiritual realm. Remember John 10:10? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. There's a battle going on. Even for us as believers, there's a battle going on. Are we going to live by the old self or are we going to live by the new self? What's going to rule in our lives? What's going to be on the throne in our hearts? There's spiritual warfare taking place. It doesn't end when you and I invite Christ into our heart. As a matter of fact, it might even intensify. Because Satan wants to destroy our influence and take away our joy. And if we're not careful, we will allow him to do that. There is a spiritual battle going on for your life. And then the fifth thing that this being filled with the Spirit looks like is down in verse 18. Look at what it says there in chapter 6. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And when this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We need to plug into the available resource of God's power. It is there for you and for me. It's like electricity that is being made, being stored up, being ready for use, but we don't flip the light switch. We don't plug in the appliance. The power is there, but we ignore it. We don't go after it. We need to plug into that, and we do that through prayer. How is your prayer life? How is my prayer life? As we look at that, it's a challenging question. If somebody were to know about your prayer life, would they say that person is spirit-filled? Guess what? God knows about my prayer life. And he knows about your prayer life. And he's challenging us to get more in touch with him. Do you remember what Jesus did? Jesus, it would appear, daily spent quantities of time praying to his Father. He said, my food is to do the will of my Father. And he prayed. That meant his sustenance, his filling of life was not related to physical things, but to spiritual things. And he said, I get that when I talk to my Father and find that's only when I can do what he wants me to do. If Jesus needed that, how much more do you and do I need that? A life filled with prayer. As we think about this and as we look at Scripture, we come then to see, why is this important? What does it matter if I've got my fire insurance? What does it matter if I go beyond that? It matters in a number of ways. Why does it matter? Why is it important? Number one, because without it, you and I will miss the peace that passes understanding that God says that we can have in the midst of any trial, circumstance, or situation. A peace and, as Paul would say, a contentment no matter what's coming up. Doesn't mean that we're satisfied with it or happy with it or want to stay in it. But it does mean if this is where God has us, then this is what we're going to do and this is how we're going to walk through that. Joy in all circumstances will be missed if we're not walking with the Lord. Fullness of joy. We can be happy, we can smile, all those kinds of things, but that's sort of an outward thing and we should do that. But what's going on inside us? Is there really a joy that's within us? Also, a sense of a job well done. I believe every believer looks forward to hearing that phrase at some point in the future, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master. That's what we ought to be striving for. Not to gain entrance into heaven, but that we might have joy on this side of eternity and then whatever blessings God is going to bestow upon us in the future. That's what we need to be living for. And as we do that, we'll see incredible things happen. We live life to the fullest. We'll miss out on that. That's why it's important. Number two, we glorify God in all that we do. We glorify Him in every way. Man's chief end is to enjoy God and glorify Him forever. That's a part of one of the most famous catechisms that was ever written. It's also inscribed on the entrance to one of the schools in our area. Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. We'll miss out on that if we're not filled with the Spirit. And then as we think about all of this, we look at the next thing that we will realize the importance of this. Is we point others to Jesus Christ. You remember the song that I sang as a little boy. Maybe some of you did not have the privilege. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Matthew 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. God desires for you and me to impact other people. The accounts in Acts of people being described as being filled with the Spirit, they were impacting other people, and the people saw that, and it moved them to be more obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. So often we get so self-contained within our own life and our own situation that we forget, as Rick Warren says in the Purpose-Driven Church and the Purpose-Driven Life, it's not about us and it's not about now, it's about others and it's about eternity. We need to remember that. Filled with the Spirit. Is that a description anyone gives for you, or is that a description anyone gives for me? God desires that for all of us. But there must be a yielding to Him. How does it happen? That's question number four. How does it happen? It happens as we follow Christ. Do you remember what Jesus said to those He called to come after Him? He said, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Have you ever asked yourself the question, to where or to what was He calling them in following Him? And to where or to what is He calling us? You know the answer to that question? The answer is to the cross. That's where He's calling us to follow Him. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Following Him all the way to the cross. It's called dying to self. You see, as we follow Him to the cross and picture ourselves, as Romans chapter 6 talks about, being crucified with Christ, that means on the cross we have no rights, we have no privileges, we have no freedoms. We're on the cross, nailed to the cross. We can't get back at anybody who does anything to us. We have died to self. That's what Jesus did. Do you remember what Galatians 2:20 says? I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered Himself up for me. That is death. To self. Dying to self, putting Christ and others before us, that is how it happens in our lives. You may possess the Holy Spirit, and if you and I are believers, we do possess the Holy Spirit. But that may not be the right question to ask. The right question to ask might be, does the Holy Spirit possess me? Does the Holy Spirit possess you? Or are we still trying to do things our own way? Death to self is the only way we'll ever be filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're here today and this makes absolutely no sense to you whatsoever. Maybe you wonder, what in the world does the Holy Spirit even do? What is this all about? It's about admitting that we're a sinner, recognizing who Jesus was and is, confessing our sin, inviting Him into our heart to be the Savior and Lord of our life, and allowing His Holy Spirit who comes in us to live in us, and we abide with Him. And then we see ourselves being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've never asked Christ into your heart today, would you allow today to be the day of salvation for you? That's the first step in being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer today, and you know that these evidences are not in your life, or you want more of these evidences to be present, would you let God know that? You can do that right there at your seat. You may want to come to this altar. How many of us have been described in the last week, month, or year as a man or woman filled with the Holy Spirit? When that happens, we'll see God do unbelievable things in and through us. Would you bow your head? Father, I thank You for the truth and the challenge of Your Word. You command us to be filled with the Spirit. Any command that You give the power and the avenue by which to accomplish it. And I pray that would be our desire. I pray we would want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, not to bring glory to ourselves as so often happens in my own mind, my own heart, my own life. But it's that others would see You in us and be drawn to You. And that we might experience the fullness of life that You desire for us to have, even in the midst of the greatest struggles and disappointments in life. The peace that passes understanding, the joy inexpressible, a heart of thanksgiving and praise and worship, no matter what's going on in our lives. Speak to our hearts today. May we be responsive to what You're moving us to do. And may we do that quickly. Whatever You're calling upon us to do, we want to give You the praise and the glory. For it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.